This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Brendan Sweeney, City Councilor at Large, City of Beverly. Brendan, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Bill.
Well, Brendan, let's get right into it on some of the news topics we've got to discuss here in this segment. First up, charter reform. Tell us where Beverly is at with charter reform and what could be facing the voters come this fall.
Yeah, thanks. This is certainly a timely topic to bring up, Bill. So quickly, Beverly City Charter has a provision in it that says every 10 years, the city needs to appoint a charter review committee to review the charter and potentially recommend any changes. And in years past, since the 90s when the charter was overhauled, there really haven't been any major changes. But this cycle, the commission did propose a handful of substantive changes. And while there still is one last step of final sign-off at the state level, the plan is that these changes, which have been reviewed both by the Charter Review Committee and then the City Council, will be before the voters this November. And so there's two in particular that I want to flag that are probably the most substantive of these changes. The first is a proposal to increase the term of the mayor from the current two-year term to a four-year term. And the second major proposal, I would say, is to add two members to the Beverly School Committee, which is currently a seven-member committee, one representative from each ward, and then the mayor. So we have six wards in Beverly, plus the mayor makes seven members. And the proposal would be to bring that number up to nine members, with two school committee members functioning as essentially semi-at-large representatives, where one of the two would represent wards 1, 2, and 3, and the second of the two would represent wards 4, 5, and 6. So those proposals, the committee recommended them. The council voted to put the matter before the voters on this ballot in November, and it'll ultimately be up to the voters whether to extend the term of the mayor to 4 years, which wouldn't actually take effect until not this coming mayoral term, but 2 years following. And then similarly, if the proposal to increase the size of the school committee from 7 to 9 members is approved by the voters, that wouldn't take effect until the following term, 2 years from now.
And Brendan, just to follow up on that, other cities and towns, I think, have done exactly what Beverly might be proposing to do with that mayoral term, correct? Does that sound right?
That is correct. So I did a little research on this as we were going through the process of the city council and considering the recommendations from the Charter Review Committee. In Essex County, we have 11 cities with similar forms of government that have a mayor and a city council. They're known as strong mayor forms of government. Of those 11, 5 have 4-year mayoral terms. So if Beverly were to approve this, we would be the 6th city of the 11 in Essex County with 4-year mayoral terms. And the logic goes that the mayor is a chief executive of the city. That's really the best way to look at the position. And so with that in mind, in order to effectively, especially when there's turnover in the mayor's office, which we're fortunate in Beverly, we've had some long-serving mayors, but when there is turnover, a mayor typically brings in their own team. They have some longer-term projects that they work with the new team to get up and running. And so the benefit of having a 4-year term is that the mayor and his or her administration are able to operate with a little longer-term horizon, which ideally would lessen the magnitude that politics takes in the decision-making process. And so, for example, with collective bargaining agreements that are on 3-year cycles, some longer-term planning, zoning and development in the city are often multi-year processes. So having a mayor that is given a little bit longer of a runway to work through some of those larger projects, the proposal from the committee that the council recommended to put before the voters was really rooted in that idea that the longer term will allow the mayor to function more with the long-term interests of the city in mind, as opposed to any short-term political considerations. But obviously, with any elected office, those political considerations are going to be taken into account regardless. So that's the balance that the committee was trying to strike in proposing this recommendation.
Yeah, I know that, you know, we mentioned that as relates to mayors, but that is through history in the last several decades or so has also impacted governors, I know, around the country. I won't have you respond to that, but I know there were states with governor terms of 2 years, and many of them now are 4 years. So typical thing that's going on. And now I want to shift to the...
Of our neighbors to the north are the only few states remaining with two-year terms in Vermont and New Hampshire.
Oh, okay. I was thinking Vermont had changed, but okay, so they're still 2 years. Okay.
Yep.
All right. All right. Good work. You know, this, I mean, this was almost like it was rehearsed, Brendan, but it wasn't. Nice job. Brendan, let me ask you about the most famous bridge here on the North Shore now is the Hall Whitaker Bridge. So many people on the North Shore may not have even heard of that bridge. Of course, if you lived in Beverly or Salem, you did. But tell us, what is the update on the Hall Whitaker Bridge with the construction? Obviously, that's spread out over now a number of years coming up.
Sure. So this, for me as a counselor, it's been a frustrating process, as I know it has been for the residents of Ryle Side and many others in the city that, you know, like myself, had used that bridge on a daily basis. So to give a quick update on the process, where it had started and where we are now, almost exactly a little over a year ago, the bridge was deemed unsafe by the Massachusetts Department of Transportation for vehicular traffic, and it was shut down essentially on a moment's notice. Which was, while nobody in the city was really under the illusion that the bridge was in great shape, if you saw it, it really didn't look to be in great shape, nobody expected that it was on the brink of being closed. And so that is really what came as a shock to the city, to folks like myself. And we have been working with the State Department of Transportation, and then at the federal level, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Coast Guard, and the Army Corps of Engineers to move towards a permanent replacement both of that bridge and that of the Kernwood Bridge, which also is a bridge that links the Ryle Side neighborhood of Beverly to Salem and is also pretty frequently used both by residents in Beverly, but then folks coming from out of town to get into Beverly to go to the Cumming Center or other locations within the city. And what's really been frustrating from my vantage point as a city councilor is that there is an extensive permitting process, both at the state level, but more so at the federal level with those three agencies that I mentioned, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Coast Guard, and the Army Corps of Engineers, where the challenge in rebuilding this bridge, while the money's lined up, fortunately, through the federal bipartisan infrastructure law that passed. So that's building the bridge itself is certainly going to be quite the endeavor. And that's not a simple task, but what's really challenging is the permitting process, and that's what's frustrated me the most. So in terms of timeline, what we were most recently told by the Department of Transportation last month was that there would be a temporary Hall Whitaker Bridge built next to the current bridge that's closed by 2027. And then once that temporary bridge is open, the Kernwood Bridge would be closed, the Hall Whitaker Bridge, which is already closed. So all traffic through Ryle Side would have to go through this temporary bridge. And then between 2027 and 2032, those two bridges that are closed, the Hall Whitaker and the Kernwood, would be repaired and or replaced entirely. And new bridges would open in 2032, which is a 10-year start-to-finish process between when the bridge closed last year and when these two bridges would be opened. And that has been incredibly frustrating, how long of a timeline that is, especially given that it's 2023 and we're being told that it'll be 4 years until even a temporary bridge is opened. So I know that the mayor, our state representative, our state senator, and others who represent Beverly's interests have been really pushing the State Department of Transportation and those federal agencies that I mentioned to expedite the process. But it's this environmental permitting hurdle that really has been the most complicating factor in terms of trying to find an expeditious solution here.
Yeah, obviously a very difficult situation. So actually, things are going to get worse before they get better then. Does that sound right? I mean, traffic-wise, really?
Yeah, that's what's frustrating. So the traffic situation is not good right now on 62, especially coming in to Beverly from Danvers. That area has already been a high-traffic area. Folks come from 128 to the Cumming Center. And that really has only intensified, especially for Rileside residents who now only have one way out of their neighborhood, unless they're going to Salem through the Kernwood. And then when that bridge closes in 2027, that option won't even exist. So traffic, and this has really been a big concern of mine, and I know the Ward 1 Council, well, Todd Rotundo has really been working with his residents to try to alleviate these issues. Traffic is going to be a concern throughout this process until it's completed, which at this time we're trying to find solutions to ease the problem, but the major issue won't be resolved until the bridge is built, unfortunately.
Yeah, by 2032, Brendan, we may not even have any cars left, right? I mean, maybe there'll be a whole new form of transportation, but that, whatever.
I'm just kidding you here. But
well, that highlights how far into the future it is.
Yeah.
Part of this frustration on my end.
Absolutely. All right, speaking of construction, one construction project, which I'd love to have an update with, because I know there were presentations made by the architects to the council, to the residents of Beverly, regarding the City Hall renovation. So where does that stand, and what is the plan for the City Hall renovations?
So the City Council has been working with the mayor to finalize designs, and it's kind of a twofold process here. So on the design end, as you mentioned, Bill, there has been an architect that's been hired, and they've been working with members of the public, members of the council, city employees to design how best to retrofit and expand upon the existing building. So we're not building a new building. It's going to be renovating the historic City Hall, but also trying to utilize what was the old police station and some other available space within that property to maximize a renovated, revamped City Hall. And then that was one piece of the puzzle. The design work is ongoing. We received a few different options, but what really has yet to be seen is what the total cost of any of these renovations will be. We're, as a council, being told that it's around a $25 million project, which is certainly a sizable figure. And we've made preparations in terms of bringing up debt capacity to borrow for those costs and make sure that we're not unduly impacting the tax rate, which is always a concern of mine, is trying to keep property taxes as low as we possibly can. But that's one side, the design, looking forward. On the other end, one thing that we did as a city, which had a dual benefit of allowing us to purchase a property that would serve as temporary City Hall, but then also preserving public parking access in the area around Cabot Street, was the city, through a friendly taking, purchased what has been informally known as the Dollar Store lot. There was a Family Dollar in one of the storefronts on this particular parcel that abuts, it's Cabot, Federal Street, and it's an area on Chapman Street also that serves as a public parking lot. Currently, it was privately owned, but functioned as a public parking lot. And the city, in taking that property, was able to lock down space that will function as temporary City Hall in the heart of downtown still, and also preserve public parking. And so those have been the two pieces of this project that we've actively been working on as a council. We approved the taking of the Dollar Store lot few months ago, and then we've been working with the architect on designs of the new building. So that's where things stand on that end.
All right, Brendan, I know another topic that Beverly has been debating is the accessory dwelling units. All cities in town seem to be dealing with this, as well as the Airbnb situations that cities and towns are having. Not that they're related necessarily directly, but somewhat related, I suppose, as far as housing, it's a housing piece, I guess. What is the latest, again, that's my question, what is the latest on accessory dwelling units in Beverly, and what is the council thinking in this area?
Yeah, so it's a timely topic. I'm glad you brought it up. So we had, as a city, and as a council in particular, we've really taken a focus on zoning and development in the city more broadly, trying to address our housing needs while also setting the parameters of future development so that we don't overdevelop areas of downtown in particular. And so one piece of that equation that we're now discussing is accessory dwelling units, or ADUs. And what had happened is this is something that's been on the city's radar and the planning department's radar for a number of years. The city worked with the Metropolitan Area Planning Council and a group of residents to create essentially a working group to study the potential impact that ADUs could have in Beverly in terms of providing additional housing options, looking at any downfalls of ADUs, such as increased traffic, and trying to put a comprehensive report together for the city council. And so that's the stage of the process that we're at now. Councillor Hannah Bowen, one of my colleagues, she's also an at-large councillor, proposed an ordinance change to what currently exists, which is fairly limited for ADUs in Beverly. As of right now, ADUs are only allowed for family members. They're fairly limited, and if the family member that is living in the ADU moves out for any reason, the homeowner is actually required to dismantle the kitchen and some of the other aspects that make an ADU distinct from just an additional bedroom in a home. And so what we're reviewing right now is both Councillor Bowen's proposal and then a proposal from the mayor that was actually submitted to the council during our most recent meeting at the end of June. And so there's a lot of overlap between what Councillor Bowen submitted and what the mayor submitted, but the core pieces of the two proposals that the city council are now going to review would allow ADUs by right in most single-family residential districts, would allow both an attached ADU or, you know, finished attic, finished basement type of thing, and a detached ADU, such as if there was a separate garage that could be renovated. Both of those would be allowed. The family member only restriction would be removed so that non-family members could live in one of the ADUs. But this is a key requirement. The owner of the ADU would have to live on the property. So that would ideally help counteract the challenges of properties being targeted both to be purchased in the first place, but then retrofitted to include ADUs solely for the purpose of Airbnbs or short-term rentals. We hope that this would help to address that issue, and we're also working on regulating short-term rentals as a parallel ordinance change. And then zoning variances to create ADUs would not be permitted. And that's really a key piece of this proposal when you think about characters of neighborhoods and not trying to overdevelop single-family neighborhoods, is that if somebody were to have to amend the zoning requirements in a way that would really not be feasible to build multiple ADUs on their property, they wouldn't be allowed to do so. And there are dimensional requirements for the ADUs to make sure that they're not too large, and other sort of setback requirements that we as a council would be considering, but that ideally will allow for an avenue for the creation of these ADUs without really changing the character of any single family neighborhoods in Beverly or building structures that are really too large to fit the lot size that they're on. So we'll be reviewing that this fall. We've already taken some public input, and I certainly encourage anybody listening that would like to further discuss the matter to reach out to me, because it's important that we have that public input as we consider the ADU proposal as a city council.
Brendan, I have just one last question, basically, and that would be, development. I've heard people say in Beverly that, okay, we like what we see, but let's stop. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm referring to here. What is your thoughts and take on development in the city of Beverly?
So one thing that I've always said, Bill, is that I'm in favor of sustainable development. And what that means is I don't think we should build endlessly, but that on the flip side, I don't think we should rule out future developments that make sense for our city that could help grow certain commercial industries or provide new housing. So we really have to look at things in a nuanced manner. And that's what I believe some of the zoning reforms that the city council passed that I voted in favor of in this past February accomplish. And basically, to talk to that specific point, which I've heard as well, about Beverly really having developed so much downtown, there are plenty of positives that have come from it, but I am concerned, as were many other residents, that we were setting a precedent in terms of the scale of indefinite development in the future that really would be potentially harmful to Beverly and the character of us being a small city and not one of the larger satellite cities around Boston. And so what we did as a city council is we limited future building heights in the downtown area to a maximum of 5 stories on Rantoul Street. There was an option in certain parts of the city to build up to 7 stories, or certain parts of Rantoul Street to build up to 7 stories. We brought that height limit down for Cabot Street, which is really where the historic feel of Beverly is most apparent. We brought what was a 5-story limit down to a 4-story limit that hopefully would preserve the current commercial storefront, still allow for some housing, but not lead to the boxier, larger apartment complexes on Cabot. And then we also limited, in between Cabot and Rantoul, which is the neighborhood that I live in, building heights in that neighborhood to 3.5 stories. And those neighborhoods, and I live in one of them, are currently composed primarily of the old triple deckers that are actually some of the most affordable units in the city. And that we wanted to make sure that those homes were preserved, and that future, that zoning didn't incentivize future developers to buy those lots, knock them down, and build boxier apartments in between Rantoul and Cabot. So that's one way that the city council has tried to thread the needle, essentially, in terms of making sure that we're not overdeveloping Beverly, that we are preserving, you know, the small city, the seaside community aspects of Beverly that make us unique, but that we're not entirely inhibiting any future growth that could be beneficial to the city.
Well, Brendan, you've covered all of my topics. This is great. Very good information. Very informative. Here is the last piece. So I understand you are running for re-election come the fall. So give a shout out to that effort of yours, to our listeners. And again, we'll put a link up to your website and, of course, to the city council website as well. But just a thought or two on your re-election, if you could, to close out.
Yeah. Thank you, Bill, and thanks again for having me. As you mentioned, I am running for re-election. I'm about a year and a half into my first term now, and I am hopeful and asking for the votes of Beverly residents to allow me to continue to do this job that I've thoroughly enjoyed. Representing residents of Beverly on the City Council has been the highlight of my career so far, and I really do believe that we have a lot of work to accomplish still. And I think it's been a productive term. Some of the things that we've discussed today about zoning reforms and work on the charter emphasize the work that we've done in the last 2 years, but I'm really eager to continue this work, to continue to bring constituent services and other services to the residents of Beverly. And I hope that you'll give me the opportunity to do so in November at this coming municipal election.
You got it. Well, Brendan, thanks so much for your time. Hold on the line for us. But Brendan, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. I really appreciate you inviting me on the show.